Sharky.
Okay.
All right. Let's
get serious. This is episode 2 of the Chosen and Called series. And you know, this is the season where we're just thanking God for salvation. You know, we get to thank Him for so many things. We get to thank Him for life, financial blessing, for increase, but it's not very often that we, you know, get to sit back and say, Lord, thank you for saving us. And, you know, this is also a way to show you that everybody, you know, the person who is a pastor today may have been someone unrecognizable yesterday. And the person who is growing in their faith and a leader, there's always a story. And, you know, I love conversations. I love talking. I love, you know, getting to listen to what other people have to share. And so I have someone who's so, so inspiring. You know, Marilyn is someone I've known for what? 12, 13, 14 years.
A long time.
Maybe 13 years. And we literally met as kids. You know, that's how I'll describe it. We met as kids, and you know, just to see her grow and be inspired by the life of faith that she lives, and you know, now not just her, but you know, she's also winning souls, impacting people, and living all out for Jesus. But you know, and so sometimes like you see someone get to a point where it's like they're coming from somewhere, and God always brings us from somewhere. You know, he says he takes the beggar and he lifts him up. You know he takes the poor and he makes him rich. And so I guess today would be kind of like a backstory of Marilyn. You know, a lot of people may see her today, and I was talking to her a few days ago, actually. I was saying, oh, you know, Marilyn, you do too much. And she was like, oh, you know, what's too much? I'm like, nah, too much is good. Like, it's good. It's a compliment if someone tells you that you do too much, like, for the gospel. And I think she really does. And she's, you know, super amazing. So welcome, Marilyn. Good to have you.
Thank you so much, Rookie. It's my pleasure. It's an honor to be here. Thank you for having me.
It's been a long time coming. We've kind of talked about this for a while, but I'm glad you're finally here. So let's get right into it. Would you say, like, you grew up in a, how was your childhood? Because every time, you know, I meet Christians, I want to know, well, when did you give your life to Christ? What's, you know, so was it when you were a baby? Was it kind of something that you don't even remember when?
Oh, yeah, I grew up in a Christian home. My parents put the culture in me, so I knew about Jesus. I used to go to church probably, I think, twice a week. Then it became once a week, and then we usually go for like vigils and all those things. My mom was very particular. I would see my mom, she was always like, and then we have morning devotions. So at about 6 or 7 a.m. in the morning, she's already waking you up for morning prayers. And trust me, it was a chore. Like, God. I used to be so upset. I'm not going to lie. And then you're waking, you're sitting down there. You start worship, and then we do the old devotional. And she'll make you read. Okay, let me give an example. Let's say the scripture reference for the day, like for that study, is Genesis chapter 1 from verse 50. Genesis 1 verse 50. So you're just supposed to read verse 50, right?
Yeah.
She'll make us start from verse 1. So we'll share it. Say, okay, you take 1 to 10. You take 11 to 20, and you're sleeping. Like, I just want to go to my room and sleep. Aww. So it was just like, well, now I'm grateful. Thinking back now.
That's a blessing, because many people didn't have that.
Yeah, yeah.
So you definitely grew up in, so did you like, how, you know, at what point did you, because most people grew up in a Christian home, and then they maybe realize that on that they don't really believe, or maybe
I wasn't saved. It's all of that, it's everything. I mean, there are times when they'll do altar call, and then maybe the message moves your heart, or maybe out of fear as well, because of the message, so you just give your life to Christ so that in case you step out and rapture happens, you know, you're going. It was those thoughts that we used to have, but
okay, so I guess that
Christianity.
Can I just ask a question before you go on? So, those people, or if there's someone who's listening and you've you go out, that's you. Like, you're literally listening to something like, oh my goodness, this is my life. Are they actually saved?
Well, they are saved. They're saved.
Okay, so yes. They're saved. So, yes, so it's just taking the next step, right?
Yes, okay. Because knowledge makes the difference with, like, how your life will be afterwards. Because after I finished, give my life to Christ, I'm saved, good, I'm fine, like, I'm in the kingdom of God, but
yeah.
I don't do anything after that shows that. So I just go back to living the way I was. So it wasn't...
That's not permanent. That's exactly what Pastor Dan said. He said, you know, he would go out and give his life, but then he, like, you try to be good and then just give up.
And then it wasn't just working.
Because most people, they don't know how to live the Christian life. Like, they don't know what they are supposed to do. They feel they should be good. And then when they try that good thing, do you know, when I gave my life to Christ the first time, I remember the first, I don't think I did it multiple times because obviously had guy, but I remember the first time and the last time. The first time was in year 8. It was during Sunday service. Remember when Body Life, Maryland and I went to boarding school together. I remember when Body Life would come. I think it was Sunday service in the morning. That's what it was called, Carpenter's Church, you know.
Oh, yeah, yeah, no, Carpenter. Yeah.
It was called Church. Body Life. I don't know why, but I think it was called Body Life. That's in my head.
Oh, my God, I remember giving my life to Christ there as well. Remember when they played that movie?
I don't remember the movie.
Left Behind, when they played the movie. It was so scary, and I'm like,
I was probably making noise at the back. But yeah, so I gave my life to Christ, and then I came out. And then, obviously, my friends had seen that I came out, and I think you were one of them. Of course, we're not friends then. But you know, I looked at me, because obviously, me then, and being like, you know, being Christian meant being good and holy, maybe like Nikita.
Stop.
You know, so when I came out, so now, I think you and a couple of other people like, so are you not going to be good? Kind of like, shaming me, like, not shaming me, but like, yeah, like making it, I don't forget
me?
That. Yeah, you're one of them. Were you a good person?
That's what I said.
Yeah. Yeah, I was like, so you're now you're going to be good, you're going to stop doing this, stop doing that. I was like, yes, I'm going to stop. And I think I tried it for like 1 week and it didn't work. So
But
I remember that being a challenge. Like, I remember that in my head being like, okay, now I'm giving my life to Christ, I'm starting a new life. Like, I'm going to try and be doing these things by myself, but that didn't work. Continue.
Yeah, and then you just give it, like, the next minute someone annoys you, and then you now say some insulting word, and you're thinking to yourself, oh my God, now I'm back again.
And then you forget about it until the next Sunday.
The next Sunday again. Yeah. Oh, God. But so
what stopped that cycle for you?
Genuine Christianity started for me in 2016. Mm. I remember when I told my salvation story, because I remember telling someone how I found myself in Christ Embassy, and at every point, Rukere, you were there. Like, I would mention your name, Rookie now did this, Rookie, as in you literally. So, after telling that story, I'm like, wow, I'm actually so grateful for Rukere. Like, oh, God.
Do you remember when we fought? Do you remember when we fought that time?
When? Yeah, many.
I mean, physical fights because of Orange.
But you were trying to bully me, and I did not find you funny
I wasn't trying to bully you, but
you were, because I was the new girl. I was still trying to, like, this thing. You were trying to. So I had to show that I could not be stepped upon. Like, what, me?
Yeah, that was pointless. And I think a lot of the things that I did as well, you know, even bullying, like, a lot of those things are pointless. You know, but we thank God. We thank God.
Thank God. Anyway, okay, so 2016, I don't want to give you full details, but just know that I was in such an emotional pain. I mean, pain is something that I got used to, right? I'm not sure at what point it started, but I just feel like for years I had been carrying so much pain. Things I wouldn't speak about, I'll just keep it inside. And it was, I thought it was painful. So in year 2016, that was when it was at its climax.
Wait, hold on, I have to
say. Bro,
You said I was carrying so much pain and it was painful. Yeah, because it was full because there was so much pain I can't take. No, that is no. Okay, continue. Sorry, that was just good. So, it was good.
In 2016, I remember you were on your own just listening to Pastor.
Really?
Play by different set of rules on Spotify. And I went to the learning zone because I was in uni at the time to read. But instead of reading, my friends and I were trying to watch Scandal. We're putting on the projector so we could watch. And then I opened Spotify, my laptop, and I see Pastor Chris, we play by a different set of rules, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm shocked. I was like, oh my God, Pastor Chris's messages are on Spotify. And then I text him, like, yeah. So I just, how extra I am. So I click on his name. And then I see so many other messages. I download all of them and I'm going to listen to all of them. Mm. So my first message I ever listened to from Pastor was We Play by a Different Set of Rules.
Fire.
When I first heard that message, oh my God. I was like, wait, what? Like, I've never heard anything like this. Like, I'm just like, what has Christianity been since?
Wow.
And backstory, I know I told you I grew up in a Christian home. My mom used to do this and do that. I used to go to church. When I left home, I was so excited. I was like, I will never
step
into church again. So no one has to force me. My mom's no longer here, so I can do what I want to do. I wouldn't pray. Bro, I thought I was actually doing my mom by doing that.
Yeah, you thought you were living the life.
I thought I was living the life, you know. And then the only reason why I actually went to church in college, because I did college before going to uni, was because I didn't want people to judge me for not going to church. And yeah, to take pictures, that was the whole Instagram.
I remember
I was living for it.
Your Sunday pictures, every Sunday clockwise.
Oh my God.
By 12 p.m.
And in the comments. Don't get me started on the comments. I was living for those things. So when I left college into uni, I didn't go to church for a whole year. First year, I was always in my room. I didn't do anything. I didn't even pray.
But then didn't your mom call you and be like, did you go to church today? What would you say?
I mean, yeah, she would. She would. I'm not even sure what my responses were. But now that I think about it. But I just know church is just Christianity thing. I'll wait for when I'm old, right? Then I'll now give my life to Christ. That was the plan.
Yeah, that was the plan. Mine was specifically 30 after I had gotten married and had kids. That was when I was, gotten married, had kids, then I'll take my life with God seriously.
Mine was when I'm in my dying bed. Because I felt like I wanted to live life, like, you know, and I felt like with God, I wouldn't live life. So
and I just want to say this in case you're listening and you've had that same time, you feel like you're being attacked. You're not being attacked, but let me say this though. Pastor Chris said something. He said, you say you're going to postpone it to your dying bed. He said on your dying bed the last thing you think about to be God
is God,
because you'd have programmed yourself all your life to never think about God. And so on your dying bed, you would, in fact, you will curse out God for making you die at that point the way you are dying. You're not going to think about God. You're not going to be humble because you live a life full of pride. So there's no such thing as, it's a lie of the devil that, oh, there's no fun. Anyway, but keep moving.
There was something you said to me one time, like, I'm not sure the year right now. Imagine the miserable life I would have lived. Life of sickness, pain, just to the point where, first of all, for me to even see myself as, what they call it, being sick. Mm. And how did I actually know how I would have left this earth?
Mm.
It could have been a fast something. I
wouldn't
even have had the opportunity to actually say, Lord, you know, just accept you. Why did I think it would have been, I would be sick on the bed and then all of a sudden a light moment would happen?
Yeah, meaning that you were already seeing suffering and pain in your future.
You understand? You. Oh my God.
Said you. And you know, Maryam, just that's the most, I guess that's the most important thing about growth and living for Christ, is that you get to begin to enjoy the blessings of Christianity before you go to heaven. So that you don't
get
and think, you know, because everyone I know, when you met Pastor and you listen to Pastor Chris's messages, the first thing you think about is where have I been my whole life? And why haven't I heard this? Why hasn't anyone told me this? And is this really true? By the time those five questions hit you, then you listen again, and then it just changes everything.
I agree.
Yeah, there's a
and in that year, you know what you just said now, is this really true? Like, things he was saying, because after listening to that message, I listened to many more of his messages, but I didn't join the ministry yet.
Yeah.
So, I remember just asking myself this question, like, could this be true? Like, is this easy? Because Pastor's messages are actually very simple. Yeah, if only you would believe it. That's really it. So, that year...
And that's the gospel too.
That's the gospel. I said to put things to work. And God was just amazing. So, he was making... Should I say he was making them work? So, let's say I would speak... No, Pastor would say, speak what you want. I would speak it and it will happen. And I'm like... Ooh, like it was so exciting. Like, yeah. I remember, you know, every this period, every November, December, people would get the flu. And I used to be I was a customer to that. I was always getting the flu. It was not possible that Christmas period would come when the flu is going, I wouldn't get it. If it's not now, it will also happen during the springtime. So I schooled in the UK, backstory. Anyway, so I remember that period, everyone was getting the flu. And then my friend beside me, she would sneeze, cough, everything. And she's like, you're going to get it. I'm like, I'm not going to get it. Like, I play by the best of the rules. I'm not going to get it. Can I tell you that I did not get it?
Yeah.
As if everyone around me had it. They were coughing, sneezing. I'm like, I'm not going to get this flu. And I did not get it. And that was one of the things that I remember, like, wow, God, this is magic. It works.
It's in those little things. I remember the first
and there were more.
I remember the first time I healed myself. I was having this terrible neck pain. And it was so bad, so, you know, uncomfortable. And I said, and I just laid my hand, because I listened to Pastor Chris say it. I laid my hand and said, in the name of Jesus, you know, I command this pain to be out. And I left it. I think like 2 hours later, I could not feel the pain anymore. I was like, is this how this thing is? Like, it was just gone. And I could connect it. So there are times where you're, you know, trying your faith. And honestly, wahala for who no tried their faith like 2-3 years ago. Because, you know, the learning curve is so steep right now. But go on.
Yeah. So, like I said, okay, the stories. Like I said, I lived so much pain. And then 2016 was like the height of it. So I remember... summer of 2016, Rookie tells me that the Holy Spirit said I should fast for a different reason. Actually, it was my dad,
yeah,
and or my family, it was both of them. So I said, okay, sure.
Can I give the backstory? Days. Can I give the backstory? Because I was there, I was living this one. So I guess then I was beginning to be known as the Christian friend, you know. So once you're the Christian friend, when people have problems, they come and tell you to pray for them. It happens. If you don't have people that's asking
you, only you that God hears your prayer.
they don't trust that God hears their prayer, so they'll come to you. But yeah, so you came to me and you were like, oh, you know, my dad, you know, a new job and, you know, family and everything. So I'm like, oh, well, like, man, obviously touched me. So we start praying, and thank you, Holy Spirit, for speaking in tongues. So you couldn't speak in tongues then, but I could. So I was speaking in tongues. So we start praying, and then I remember hearing the voice of Holy Spirit says, tell Marilyn to fast for 6 days. Every 1 week.
It was 14.
Was 14.
Yeah.
No wonder I was so hard, because it was like, okay. Then I was like, Holy Spirit, how am I going to tell Marilyn this? Because me, I've not fasted for 14 days. And did I really hear you? Or, you know, but then, so I just said, you know what, God, is you. So I was just going to be bold. And I said, I didn't know how you were going to take, whether I think I'm a false prophet. What then? When did God tell you that? Because me, I was not sure. But I was like, okay, Marilyn, God says we should fast for 14 days. And tell the story.
Okay. At that point, I was at the point where it was, God, you have to just do something. Like, this pain. I think I just gotten to the end of it. And so anything at this point. So when he said fast for 14 days, I was like, sure. I actually took it like seriously.
You did.
I did. Like, I didn't play with it. I was like, wow, God, you just told me fast. Okay. I said, I think the next day I started.
Yeah.
Right. And it wasn't the most perfect should I say, fasting ever. Because at the beginning, I would do 6 to 6, in between pray, you know, study the word. I started reading the book of Romans, and I remember
you texting all the time, like, oh my goodness, this is what Romans said. And I was just there thanking God, like, yes, your eyes are being opened. But do you know one thing that Do you know one thing I think that we can look back and say made that fast different? You read the Bible.
Yeah.
That changed the game. I'll never forget.
That did. I was mind blown at the things already. I was like, this whole thing, it's been here this whole time. Like, how did I know? How did I see it? So I said from Romans chapter 1, and then I kept, did I finish it? Actually, I read it. And I was always messaging you. Oh my God, rookies. So I just found, oh my God, rookies. Anyway, but towards the end of the fast, let's say by the following week, I'll break my fast at 12, break my fast at 3. It was just very irregular. I was just, you know, then I used to also think that, oh my God, I've spoiled the fast. I don't think God will answer my prayer again because I didn't fast as I was supposed to fast. Mm. Anyway, what I was even praying for. So the fast changed me.
Hallelujah.
That's what happened.
Hallelujah. Because
what I was praying for and how I expected it to happen concerning, like, happen. You know, my dad and the job, it didn't happen. But what happened was how my life took a different turn.
Hallelujah.
My God, that was literally the beginning of everything. And then I started going to church more. I started enjoying church. Hillsong was the beginning of my this thing. I remember one message that someone said, the pastor said at the time, God, religion will tell you do this, then God will love you. But Christianity tells you, I have done it. Do you believe in what I have done? So it was, when I heard that, I was like, wow, this whole time I've been trying to get God to love me because I did not think He did. I thought that the things that I did affected how He saw me and affected how He loved me. So I always tried to be good. And then when I wasn't, always I would make a mistake.
It canceled everything.
Canceled everything. We're back again. And then I always felt terrible about myself. So it was the whole negative self-image. I didn't even mention that the year I said, when I got to uni in the first year, I was like, I didn't go to church. I didn't pray, nothing of that. I was so depressed. Right. I didn't realize
we couldn't tell on Instagram. And I don't say this lightly, but your Instagram slay queen may be going through a lot, but just I don't say it lightly. No, for real.
So I was actually calling you to tell you I wanted to go and see a therapist in the uni. And I remember my best friend at the time, Chigo, when she asked me, what makes you happy? And I couldn't even answer that question. I'm like, what do you mean, what makes me happy?
Well, am I supposed to be happy?
I was like, I guess TV shows, movies. She's like, no, but like, what makes you Jane? Like, what actually makes you? I couldn't answer that question. Then I remember telling you, I'm just going to see a therapist. And you said, they were going to use it against me when I'm a lawyer. So I was like, bro, okay, I'm not doing it again.
Are you serious?
That's what you said to me.
Interesting.
But I was like, I need help. I just knew I needed help. I didn't know where to get help, get the help from, or like how to actually go about it. Until okay, now 2016, my journey with Christ started, and the things I was seeing, I started loving church. Like, I would not play. When you make me go late to church, I'm fighting you. Like, I didn't even care who you were. I remember my mom made me go late to church. I was like, mommy, I think I was actually upset at her for that. So that was how I started listening to more worship songs. You know, my playlist started changing. I used to be the R&B sad girl. Like, I would literally put on slow, sad music
just to be sad.
Let me tell you a story. I like this story. I just so embarrassing. I'm just like,
are you sure you want to go to here?
One of the days when I put on my sad story, I just intentionally make myself sad. I remember I was taking a bath, so I turned off the lights in my bathroom, right? And I used to have a lot of scented candles, so I lit scented candles and put it in my bathroom. And I put the music, the speakers, to be playing the slow song. And then I decided to enter the shower to take a bath. So the water, I think I was there for an hour. The water was not flowing. It was
sad.
Sad. And I wouldn't cry. That was the thing. Because I always felt like, you know, I don't want to ever feel weak. Because I saw tears as weakness. So I wouldn't cry. So it was just all those things that were in, like holding everything in. Nah. God actually forbid. Anyway, so 2017, I'm done with what they call it, uni, and I'm back to Nigeria. I remember when you were trying to get me to speak in tongues, and I thought, like, you know, the roof would open and the Spirit of God would descend, like the tongues, fire, everything. I can't imagine how many times you tried to tell me that, you know, it doesn't work like that. But the strongholds were so there, were so strong, that I couldn't see any other way I would have received the gift of tongues.
And you know, in a way, so to speak, you may not have felt worthy. And I think that's why some people don't receive the gift of tongues, because they want it, but they feel like, maybe because I've done too many things that aren't right. Like, maybe if I actually just get deeper with God, then I'll be able to speak in tongues.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But I think at the end of this, Marilyn, we should lead people and fill people with the Holy Ghost, and you know, we'll speak in tongues, and you know, you can, Marilyn can lead you. That'll be fun. I've never heard a podcast end that way, but we're going to pray in tongues and we're going to fill you. If you desire the gift of tongues, just start preparing your heart, because at the end of this recording, we're going to fill you with the Holy Ghost. Praise God.
Yes. Speaking of, the way I even received the gift of tongues was through I was listening to my church at the time. I was watching the message online, like Sunday service. So we're streaming through Facebook, and then he prayed for people that wanted to receive the gift of tongues. So that's how actually I received it, in my room.
Wow. So someone can listen to you today and listen to it in their room and receive it in their room.
That's true. So it's possible. There's the Spirit of God cannot be limited. So when I go back from the UK to Nigeria, I joined, my family was going to a church at the time. So I joined the church and I decided to serve. So I was an usher. It was the most exciting, like,
I remember.
Oh my God. I was emotionally attached. It was like family. Mm. I loved church. Oh, I actually adored it. I'd go to church during the Saturday. Is to, you know, clean and arrange chairs for Sunday. I'm there early to, you know, serve. Like, I was just very excited. Then when I was coming to Lagos, and I was not praying to God. It's important that you go to a place that you're led, you know, like, let God actually lead you. Don't just decide to go to any church because, you know, maybe your friends are going there. Because when I came to Lagos, I was going to go to this present house because of Banky and Adesua. But then I knew that, okay, no, you can't do that. So I started to pray and ask the Holy Spirit to order my steps to the church he wanted me to be at in Lagos. And then you come and tell me, here you are again, as usual, in every part of my story. And you're like, go to Christ Embassy, you know, Pastor Deola is in Lekki, blah, blah. I'm like, no. Somebody already told me I should go to the other church. I feel like that's why God is leading me. I like, what if God is leading you through me? Why can't you lead me?
That definitely sounds like me.
I actually didn't listen to you at the time. Anyway, I shall went to the church that I felt God was leading me to. And that church did actually led me to Christ Embassy. Because it was from the message that he preached on Sunday, my last Sunday there, that I applied, right? And I used to actually get myself in Christ Embassy.
Wow. So the pastor did not know that he was preaching a message that would take one member as well. But I think it's good to say at this point that, you know, I think all Christ Embassy churches are good churches. I think you won't go wrong. If you're looking for a church where you will grow, Believers Love World Fellowship, Christ Embassy is a church where you would grow. And that growth determines wholly on you.
On you.
Because, you know, every church has a pastor, and each pastor runs the church as the ministry, you know, instructs to run. But each pastor is different. And so even within, you know, Christ Embassy, I think, you know, you have a good fit. there's always a, there's no, I think Christ's mercy is so big that I cannot say that there's no good fit for you. I can't say that confidently. So I do think there's a good fit for you. But then at the same time, if you're in somewhere where you can't go to a Christ's mercy church, pray that you go. The one prayer I said, the last time I gave my life to Christ, and I know that was real, I was listening to Bishop David Ibiomi of Salvation Ministries in Port Harcourt, and I watched him on TV. And I gave my life to Christ on TV. And then I sat down there, and I remember thinking, Lord, I don't want to do it wrong. Please show me the truth. Because what I had believed in before was a lie. And I said, Lord, I don't want to believe in a lie. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I actually believe with all my heart. But I cannot do a lie. Because, and in my mind, I was thinking, there's no time. Like, if I believe in a lie for another 10 years, how am I going to unbelieve that lie and believe in the truth? That was the prayer I said. And then God will lead me to Christ Embassy. And so it's important that you actually, because God wants to see that you care. You know, so if you care about your growth, you're not just going to walk into any church, no matter how beautiful it looks on the outside, or no matter, even if all your friends are there and they are prospering, maybe that's not where you're supposed to be, you know?
Yeah, that's so true. Yeah.
But before, I think TAG Conference, I guess, and Rhapsody Club kind of happened before you
left. Last year during the Rhapsody Club, Ricky announced that there was Thai conference, and the year before you and Jennifer went, and you came and told me your stories of how, you know, you were drunk in the spirit, you could barely speak English, you could barely walk, you know, these things were exciting. I was like, wow, I've never experienced this. I want to know what it feels like, right? And then the year after, you announced during Rhapsody Club that this Thai conference, I was actually going to come to America. I was like, I don't care where it's happening, I'm coming there. And then, as God would anyway have it, it was happening in the UK, which was closer.
Which was a miracle, because if you had come to the US, what happened, you know, with Dubo, like you were the person that organized all of them, you know, to
right, and my sister.
So I'm so thankful. It's true, your sister, if you had come to the US, your sister would never have gone. You know, just
that's true.
God is beautiful, and He amazingly orchestrate. No, it's true.
It's so true. And if so they had, true. Even if they had, even the testimony of how I actually got to the UK
was a demonstration of your faith.
Was a demonstration of my faith. Because I remember when you said it's happening in the UK, I was like, I'm going. Are you were even like how would it happen? I was like, I don't know. I don't care to know. All I know is I'm actually going for a Thai conference. And then last Sunday, my pastor and I preached a message and said how to, it's about faith and using your faith to get what you want, and how you mentioned that you should, you know, write a story as if it's already happened and say to yourself morning and night, like repeat the story to yourself until you actually believe what, like believe the story. So that's when I did it. I wrote the story of how I attended Christ Embassy, how I found a ticket for this amount. Because I thought the miracle would be I'll find a ticket for like a very cheap ticket.
Yeah, I remember you were looking for tickets.
But British Airways, I didn't want to go and use 1 hour. I was like, you know, the miracle would be I'll find British Airways tickets for this amount. And then I got to the UK. Like, I wrote the whole story down. How the first day of TAG conference was this, second day was this, third day was this. And I would say to myself morning and night. And then it just happened, like, the devil is a very senseless human being, a senseless thing, right? Yeah. So, my brother at the time was ill. He had said something about has to do with his kidney. So, my dad calls me one night. He's like, can you go to the UK? Let me just also say that he was in Coventry. I have a sister. So, he was in Coventry. I have a sister in Birmingham. It's like...
And you have another cousin in Manchester, right?
No. Sharon is in Exeter. So I have a sister in Exeter and I have another sister in Birmingham. Mm-hmm. And then Emma was in Coventry. Birmingham, Coventry is like 30 minutes by train. So she could have easily gone. But I guess maybe my dad was thinking, you know, I don't want to disrupt her school because she has school.
God was talking to your dad. He wasn't thinking at that point.
God was talking.
Because is it not better to disrupt her school than pay how many, you know, hundreds of thousands for you to travel? Like, you know.
and then by the way, because it's also very important when such an important thing is about to happen, who you share it with.
right? Because I remember I shared it with a friend. And I was like, oh, I was going to the UK. And then she's like, oh, how are you going to go there? How would you get a ticket? I'm like, oh, the Spirit of the Lord will buy it.
Hallelujah.
And then she laughed. I'm like, okay, be serious now. Like, tell me, like, how are you actually going to get a ticket? So after that conversation with her, it really put doubt. Like, I was like, okay, maybe I guess I wouldn't go for this conference anymore, after all. Then I remember messaging Jennifer, right? And I was telling her, Jennifer, I don't think I can go. Like, you know, because I was feeling really sad. I was like, I don't think I can go. It doesn't look possible. Jennifer said, you're going for that conference. Don't say that. She literally boosted the faith. I was like, come on. Anyway, it was, I think the day after that conversation, the Madonna says, can you go to the UK? They said this happened to Amen. So I'm like, yes, I can go. It's out of work. How would you? I said, I'll find out. Oh God. Anyway, I found myself in the UK. It was meant to be for a week. And then my brother and I had an appointment on Saturday again for his treatment. And it was getting to that Saturday. And I was like, oh God, I can't go back. How can I come here and I go back to Nigeria without actually coming for, as in the main reason why I'm here, yeah, I don't attend the conference.
Sorry to your brother.
So I'm thinking, to myself. I started speaking in tongues. Like, God, you know, I'm going to, I used to actually open my ticket and speak to my ticket and tell it to change, like the date. I was like, you're going to God, it was a fight of faith. You're going to change this ticket to the date I wanted. So, do you know that miracle was that my mom came that same week I was there. So I really did not have to go.
You didn't have to come, but you did have to.
My mom literally came to UK for her medical checkup. Mm. And when I now texted, after speaking in tongues, you know, praying, asking the Holy Spirit, you know, to guide me and, you know, help me, you know, favor everything. I texted my dad. I was like, okay, this is the date they've given us for the appointment. And that's when I'm supposed to leave back to Nigeria, like asking him to please move my ticket, right? And he now says, when do you want it moved to? My mom was coming just 2 days after or something. I could have gone, I should have taken over. So I now told him, at this point, I was actually going to settle. I was going to say, okay, maybe, you know, let me just say Sunday, because I was kind of, you know, feeling away. And they always said, why do you want to, like, sell yourself short? You asked for this, I'm giving, like, it's here. So decide when you want to go, it's in your hands. So I now texted and said I wanted to leave on a Monday morning. After the conference ended on a Sunday. So my dad now says, okay. Shortly after, he sent me the new ticket. God. I wanted to, I was like, God, me and you, we are in this forever. Like, wow. I'm not leaving you.
There's nothing sweeter
than that conference.
You test your faith and it works.
Do you understand? And it was my faith, the faith, like when I, how Sharon, my sister, saw that I came to the UK and made her say, you know, I'm coming for that conference.
Wow.
Then at the time, I was speaking to Jane to come for the conference. I told her about the conference too. So Sharon immediately booked. She registered. The whole time I was telling her, Sharon, you're in the UK, come for this conference. You know, you're even blessed that you're there, register. She was dusting me everywhere. Oh my God, I have school, I'm busy. When she saw that I was coming to the UK, she's like, wow, Marilyn, wow, I'm inspired. She registered straight up. And then now look at her life.
And you know the sweetest thing is that it was your faith. Nobody prayed for you. It was your faith. It was your faith.
It's important you actually follow instructions, because like it's in the instruction that you get your miracle. Because what I learned that I decided to put to work. That got me there, and then shortly after I joined the ministry, and it just being from glory, the growth. Yeah, I remember last year I was attending every meeting. I was just hungry. I was like, God, I want to experience so much of you, the depth that is in you. I just want to keep going. So every meeting they call for meeting me, I'm there. Let me just tell you, before in the former church, I didn't attend midweek service because my excuse was that it was far. Lagos traffic, but this one I'll be in traffic and I'm going for that thing. That's what I mean. Saturdays I was in church, Sundays I was in church, Wednesdays I was in church. Like, I was just hungry and I was excited doing it. Wow, God has been God is faithful.
So what do you think made you excited? Because for some people, that excitement, when did that excitement in serving God come? Because it's kind of like night and day, right? From someone who had nothing to do with, you know, church, and then now, you know, when did that excitement start coming in?
It was really, it was in the things I was hearing.
Yeah, it was gradual.
Yeah, it was gradual. And it was also in the things I was here. Like, I remember when in secondary school, I used to be a, you know, praise and worship girl. When it comes to praise and worship, I'm there. But when it enters prayer and preaching, like, I've shut out. So it moved from praise and worship to now the word. Like, I wanted to know what the pastor was going to preach. Like, the message. My heart was always ready to open, to receive, and to hear, and to learn. Because, I mean, I get bored easily, right? So when it's the same thing, doing the same thing over and over, it's boring. So with God, I realized
there's always
something new to know about Him.
Hallelujah.
So that always kept me going. I'm like, okay, like, on my toes, okay, what am I going to learn? So that made me, that's one of the things that got me really excited with God. And every time I would learn something, I'll put it to work, and it would work. Mm. And I was like, okay, God, let's, it made me want to know more. So I think that's what it was. The word, like what I was hearing.
Hmm. That's so, I mean, I'm just so moved by your story because it's beautiful. You know, I can testify to so many changes. In fact, I remember the earliest times, you know, when we would speak then and be like, you know, you would laugh and be like, I'm dead. I'm like, you're not dead, you know, you can't say that. And for you, it's like, what are you talking about? Just chill. You know, but, you know, so many other instances, and you know, just being a, you know, if anyone I knew my mom for, like, she was a skeptic. You know, anything that sounded like good news, and are you sure? Are you really sure that the person said that? And yeah, the person, are you sure? Like, she just could not believe that if something seemed good, it just seemed fake. Then if something bad happened, that was what was meant. You know, it just, and so to see where you're taking control, and you know, you, it's obvious the beauty, it's obvious the peace, it's obvious. You know, even, you know, I don't know if you want to talk about, like, we're just chasing things. I remember there was a time where all you wanted to do in life was to be famous. That was it. And how was it like when you noticed your priorities started changing? The things you were chasing, you were no longer chasing. The people you wanted to be around, the things you wanted to, I guess, do, buy, it just seemed inconsequential.
Yeah, I was actually chasing. I was that fashion trend following person, like celebrities as well. Because of, you know, the problem when there was that Slim Tea, there was waist trainer, there was many other things I would just buy because, you know, that was a trend, that was happening. And
it's still a trend. You just don't.
It's still a trend. Fair.
It is. Yeah.
Why I was chasing this thing? I was chasing this thing because I felt like that was where, I think, I feel like maybe when I'm famous or something, that I'll be happy, right? So I feel like that was where I was going to get the joy from.
The validation.
And it is a huge deception because joy can only be found in God. Because you get there and realize it's all empty. So, I remember the day I figured out, I was like, there's nothing in this world. Like, it's just empty. The day it hit me, I was like, there's no that way, like, God, there's no that way. It has to be you. I just have to live for you because there's nothing. But everybody's just chasing. You wake up in the morning, you're going to what end?
Futile.
Do you understand?
Bible calls it vanity. Vanity it's upon really, vanity.
It's to what end?
One of the parables that people don't talk about a lot in the Bible is the parable of the rich foolish man, that having laid up treasures, worked and said, oh, I'm going to now enjoy myself. I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. And then that same night, the Lord said, your soul is required of you. It was pointless all along.
It was pointless.
Things he left behind will fade away. they will be useless. People will fight over them. It will count for nothing. It will be matter, you know, garbage in, garbage out. It would mean nothing. And all the while, you're rich on earth but poor in heaven.
Mm.
You're highly valued by man but lowly esteemed by God. I think the biggest thing we can, you know, this time that we have right now, Maryland, it's a snapshot. If you know what a snapshot is, think about your flash. It's a snapshot in eternity. Why mm-hmm. live as if this is the most important time instead of the fact that eternity is the most important? So if you had a big exam, every hour you had, you'd be using that hour to prepare for the big exam. So imagine yeah. you have all of eternity. Imagine all of eternity. It's either going to be with God or in eternal torment. Why live today as if it mattered more than eternity? Today is a practice for eternity. You know, we're joking about how, you know, if the way we live, that's how we're going to, are you going to be, you know, in heaven and you're going to be, you know, just there by, oh, I made it. Thank you, God. Everything else burned in the fire except you. Or is it going to be that good and faithful servant? And I think what is your one advice? I'll say as we round up, you know, two things. What is your, you know, number one, can you pray so that people can receive the gift of tongues? And then the one, but before then, what is one thing you're going to tell someone who really is carrying a lot of pain? Like, they've heard about Christianity, they've gone to church, it's not working. What is that? Like, I won't say it's not working because, you know, if you put it to work, it will work, but they're at their wit's end. They knew you before, they can't explain why you're the way you are. How can that pain be gone? What is that one thing they can do to go to the next level in their walk with God?
I would say shift your focus, right? And just put it on Him. Don't try to, shall I say, heal yourself. Because what happened with me was like, the more I pursued the things of God, the more I could literally feel myself heal. So the wounds that had, shall I say, had been deep for years, literally healed. I could feel myself healing. So it's a thing where put your focus on Jesus, right? And if you also need help, like if you want to know how to serve God, many people want to please God. It's just they need direction.
Mm.
You know, you can always come to me or you can come to Rookie, right? And we would point you to the places that would help you get that help that you need.
Yeah.
But live for Jesus. That's the most important thing. Like living for Jesus. There's no other thing again that matters. Everything that we're chasing, from the designer shoes, bags, clothes, you know, to live in big houses, like it's all empty.
If Jesus is not there.
Jesus is the key person. So just keep your focus. He should be all that you see.
Mm.
Try one more time, I would also say, you know, because sometimes people are like, you know, I've tried this, it's not work. Just try one more time. And this time, give it your all.
Yeah, the way you talked about your fast.
Yes, give it your all. And I bet you will see that it would change, like something would change time around.
Hmm. And you know, if you're listening and you're not sure whether you're saved at this moment, you're not sure if you're going to go to heaven, you're not sure that you're going to make the rapture if it happens, you're not sure where your standing is with God, I want to invite you today to forget everything. Forget what you've known, forget the past. You know, Corrie ten Boom said something. She said that what God does with our sins is He takes it and throws it in a lake and says no fishing allowed, forever forgiven, never to be brought up again. God doesn't bring up the past. And so I want to invite you to this new life, this new future, this life of peace, of excellence, of glory, of joy everlasting. And, you know, Jesus, the Bible says in Colossians 1, and I want to read something for you from 1 to 15. It says, "For everything, absolutely everything, above and below, visible and invisible, rank after rank of angels, everything got started in him and finds its purpose in him. There's no life without Jesus. Every other thing is death." You know, when we started this, we said it's not even so much as a testimony of what God saved me from, but it's a testimony of moving from death unto life. And for many of you listening now, this is the beginning of life. So I want you, it says he was there before any of it came into existence. And Jesus holds it all together. He holds everything together. He's supreme. He was supreme in the beginning, leading the resurrection parade, and he is supreme in the end. From beginning to end, he is there, towering far above everything and everyone. This is Jesus. When you accept him into your heart, he changes you. He takes away the dead and he brings in the new. And now that you're new, everything Maryam said, you begin to do. But I want you to say this prayer with me. This is the prayer. It is literally this easy. As you say this, you believe it in your heart and you confess it. As you say it, you are translated from darkness to light and a new life, a new journey. Everything we talked about is real and you too can experience it. This is the time where, you know, the Bible says that in the day of salvation, in the day that you hear it, don't harden your hearts. Don't say, I'll do it later. Do it now. Praise God. And say with me, say after me rather, "Oh Lord God, I believe with all my heart in Jesus Christ, Son of the living God. I believe he died for me and God raised him from the dead. I believe he is alive today. I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is the Lord of my life. Through him and in his name, I have eternal life. I am born again. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. Hallelujah. Welcome to the kingdom. Welcome to being a child of God. Well, this has been so great. I think we have just, I want you to pray for people that want to receive the gift of tongues. And if you just give your life to Christ now, you can receive the gift of speaking in tongues, the heavenly language.
Yeah. Okay, praise God. Before we get into the prayer, I just want to explain, because it's important that we do things from a place of understanding. So the gift of tongues is a gift, basically, right? Like, it's given by God to his children. So you know how when you are born, your earthly parents teach you the language, as it's English or French or Portuguese. And over time, right, this becomes your language and this is how you communicate with them, because this is all you know. So it's the same thing, because I always say the physical realm is mimics the spiritual realm. So God also has a language, and that's tongues. So when you speak in tongues, you're speaking directly to God, you're communicating with him, right? And it flows from the gifts of the Holy Spirit that's given to every single person that's born again. So just like you that just said this prayer, right? You have received the gift of the Holy Spirit. So now is to be filled with him to the point where you start speaking in tongues. I hope it's clear. Rukij, anything you want to add to the...
No. The only thing I want to add is that every Christian should desire it. You know, it's not something that God forces on you. It's your desire. Why? Because as you speak in tongues, it opens up channels of communication. And it strengthens your faith. Feeling your understanding is limited. Think about it. Right now, you just gave your life to Christ. You don't really know what to pray. When you speak in tongues, you never pray amiss. You always pray right, and God will begin to lead you and guide you and direct you. And so you have to desire it, and it is good, but it's not by force. And something supernatural doesn't have to happen. It's like speaking. You know, you think about it in your heart and you begin to see it. now you're not going to form words, like you're not going to fake words, but you've got to open your mouth and talk, and you know.
And yeah, it flows, the Bible says, out of your belly flows rivers of living water. So it flows from your belly. You're not, we're not going to tell you do ba ba ba, you do ba ba ba, ma ma ma. That's not how, because I know that people usually think like they're trying to force you so they don't teach you. No, no one's teaching you. It's the gift of the Holy Spirit. Yeah, just it's going to come out. And even when you start speaking, it might sound strange. I'll use that word. Just keep speaking, don't stop. And don't think, okay, because you don't understand what you're saying, I'm just saying rubbish. You're not saying rubbish. Mm-hmm. And this time, you have the Holy Spirit to be praying through you. That's what the Holy Spirit is literally praying through you. In Romans chapter 8, it says, we know not what we should pray for as but we the ought. Spirit. But the Spirit gives, you know, utterance. So as we start now, we're going to start praying. So just open your, like Ricky said, desire it. Open your spirit and open your heart and just start speaking. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, precious Holy Spirit. Thank you for your children, oh God. We thank you for your gift that you have given to every single person, oh God. Lord, we love you. We reverence you. There's no one like you, God. Thank you, because we'll see a change in our lives.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
What I'll say now is that you receive the gift of tongues. Find someone who speaks in tongues and tell them to be praying with you. Because Ruki did that with me when I first received
it. Do you remember when 5 minutes was long?
Oh my God, it was so long. And she would get me to tell us, let's pray together. And I'll usually wait for her to pray, because I didn't want her to hear how man was. But don't be embarrassed, right? I remember the thoughts I used to have at the time, the enemy tried to convince me. He would tell me, you know, yours is sounding funny, it's too short, like it's not even that sweet. Like, I just, you know, don't let those thoughts get to you. It's all lies. Speak your tongues. You know, there's no.
Yeah.
It's unique. Everybody's one is unique. So just because speak.
If we can convince you to stop, he wins. That's true.
Yep. So just speak. When you learned how to speak English, when you started learning, rather, you know, you're always practicing, and then you got stronger. So just keep speaking in tongues. You receive the gift. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Thank you so much, Rukia, for having me. This has been amazing. Like,
I know. There's so much joy. I'm so excited for the, you know, people.
And I'm also honestly so grateful to you. When I see you next, I have to say a seed into your life, because your reward in heaven on top of my matter is solid, is huge. And I'm how I always tell them I'm doing too much. I've never started. So
that's the best way. You know, thank you, Marilyn, because also you too, you were proof that prayers worked, because I remember looking at you one day and going back to my prayer journal, and when I saw your name there, I cried real tears, because I know when, anyway, I cried tears, that's what I'll say. But thank you for showing me that indeed God can, when your friend is going through pain and hurt and heartbreak, no matter the kind of advice you want to advise them, it doesn't change nothing. It's only Jesus that can change. It's only Jesus that can take someone and bring them where they are. And we all have that story. And today we celebrate that story. You know, now Maryland is a leader, leading people, you know, partner with the gospel, bringing many to Christ and changing, really influencing people, doing so much for Jesus. And so, you know, that's your story listening today. And I just wanted to celebrate that, celebrate God's grace and God's divine disruption. All right, everyone, have a wonderful time. This has been Conversations with Ruki, an amazing conversation, and I can't wait to have the conversation with the next person, because that's what this is all about. I have conversations that I would otherwise have had, you know, offline, but now everyone gets to listen in. Bye. Bye, Mary.
Bye. Thank you. Bye.